ISKCON founder Acharya Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai, Nantvokti Vaishnavrinda Ki Jai, Namacharya Shri Haridas Thakur Ki Jai. Praise Shri Gaur Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasudeva Gaur Bhaktivinoda Ki Jai. Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopinatha Nityananda Radha Kunda Ki Govardhana Ki Jai. Vrindavan Ki Jai, Tur Ki Jai, Navadvipa Mayapur Ki Jai, Jagannath Puri Dhamma Ki Jai, Gangamaya Jamuna Deva Ki Jai, Bhakti Deva Ki Jai, Tulsi Maharani Ki Jai, Samaveda Bhaktivinoda Ki Jai, Gaur Premanandi. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru Maharaj. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Krishna Prasaya Pujala Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nityananda Namaste Saraswati Deva Gaura Mani Pucharana Nirse Sisani Vani Pasta Tandi Sitani Mande Ham Sri Guru Sri Yutal Padakamalam Sri Guru Vaishnava Shtam Sri Guru Pam Sarvaja Tham Sadhana Ragnar Tham Yutam Tham Sajivam Sadvaitam Sadvaitam Parijana Sahita Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sadhana Lalita Sri Vishakam So today is the appearance day of Lotanda Sakur, and we'll give class in Bhagavatam and then we can sing Param Korna. Is Param Korna in the songbook? This is the 3rd of January, 2021, in Hillsborough, North Carolina. We're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 30, Text 43. 22! Yes. Thank you. It's January 1st, 2022. Finally finished with 2021. Okay. Thank you. Tatmanaksha. Their minds filled with thoughts of him. Tad-alapaha, conversing about him. Tad-vichesaha, imitating his activities. Tad-atmikaha, filled with his presence. Tad-gunan, about his qualities. Eva, simply. Gayantya, singing. Na, not. Atma, their own. Agarani, homes. Sasmaru, remembered. BT translation. Their minds absorbed, this is talking about the gopis, when Krishna has, he's left their company, and he, and off with Srimati Radharani, and he also left Srimati Radharani, and so the gopis are traveling through the forest looking for him. So BBT translation, their minds absorbed in thoughts of him, they conversed about him, acted on his pastimes, and felt themselves filled with his presence. They completely forgot about their homes as they loudly sang the glories of Krishna's transcendental pastime. BBT purport. Actually, there is no separation from Krishna for the pure devotees of the Lord. Although apparently abandoned by Krishna, the gopis were actually tightly connected to him by the spiritual process of Shravanam Kirtan, Vishnu, hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord. So I'm going to read just a little piece of Sanatana Goswami's Tika. So he quotes the Padma Purana. This is in regard to the singing part, Nayanjo. As Najma Swami is quoting from the Bhagavad Purana, the Lord is saying, I do not live in Vaikuntha or the excellent heart of the yogi. O Narada, I reside where my devotees sing. This indicates, Najma Swami is saying, this indicates that singing is the best means of bringing the Lord under control. So that's very interesting, because one of the qualities of pure bhakti in the higher stages, there's six qualities of pure devotional service. And for the pure devotees, one of the qualities is it brings Krishna under control. And here's another thing Swami is saying, singing is the best means of bringing the Lord under control. And we see that in all the religions of the world that I'm aware of, they worship the Lord by singing. And it's interesting, even the religions that prohibit ordinary singing, like strict versions of Islam, you're not allowed to sing any ordinary songs, but you sing the Quran, and you sing the prayers. Sanatana Swami going on, or having given up searching for him, they sang out of the nature of pain and separation. So, in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Rupa Goswami lists different aspects of rasa. One of them is the Vyabhichari Bhava, this is the emotions. So a pain of separation is a transient emotion. And then Anubhav is the voluntary actions that you take being instigated by these various emotions. So when you're feeling the pain of separation, you sing. Okay, going on by Sanatana Goswami. Since singing is listed at the end, using the present participle, it is considered the best, being the chief method of remembrance. Since they could not sing and converse at the same time, sometimes they talked and sometimes they sang. Of course, we know that people can converse also by singing. Right? So many, when I was young, I used to go to Broadway musicals. My mother was a big devotee of Broadway musicals. And they would have conversations by singing. That's what we're going to read Jiva Goswami's commentary. They gave up searching for him, but they became inundated with great grief, worried that he would suffer from the sharp stones in the forest. That was yesterday's verse, that the gopis came to a dark part of the forest, and they said, if we keep searching here, Krishna will know that we're searching here, so he'll keep going. And if Krishna keeps going in the dark part of the forest, he won't be able to see the little stones and twigs on the path, and it'll hurt his feet. So better we not look in a dark place. Better we turn around and go back. And you were saying that Krishna couldn't be there anyway because he's very fulgent. And then Jiva Goswami quotes, Vyatane nam kim swit kurva dir brahmati dir baba ayusham na. Our minds, therefore, are filled with anxiety that your tender feet might be wounded by pebbles as you roam about on the forest path. And that's the next chapter, 10:31-19. Thus they became absorbed in him, tan manashka. Their minds were absorbed in Krishna, who had entered the forest full of obstacles. They conversed about him, about his suffering there. They engaged in actions for his benefit. He chased Titamaha, walking on another path, trying to find a place for him to come out. They made efforts for him, Tadatmikama. Although they were disappointed because he had disappeared, they began singing about his qualities such as mercy, by which he comes under others' control. They did not sing about him giving them up. And Sanatana Goswami also says this. By singing, they hoped he would hear. They forgot about themselves, what to speak of their houses. So they hoped he would hear their songs and come back. Tadmanaskas tadalapas tadvichechas tadatmikaha tadgunan evadayancho natmagarani shasmaru. Their minds absorbed in thoughts of him, they conversed about him, acted at his pastimes, and felt themselves filled with his presence. They completely forgot about their homes as they loudly sang the glories of Krishna's transcendental pastimes. So here we see that when we absorb ourselves in Krishna, we forget the difficulties of this world. And this theme is repeated over and over and over again through the Shastra, that one of the purposes of taking up spirituality is to cut our identification with this world. Now, in other systems, like in Dhyana Yoga, they do this mechanically, right? In Asana Yoga, it's mechanical. First of all, you become a good person. You have yam and niyam. You do good things and you don't do bad things. Because you have to be purified to a certain extent to perform yoga. And then you breathe in a certain way. And it's a fact that if we change our breathing, we will change the state of our mind. That's a medical fact. Like, if we're very upset about something, our breathing increases. And the purpose of that is if you see, like, some, you know, snarling dog, you need to run away, and to run away, you need to get a lot of oxygen very quickly. So breathing gets very quick. And if you intentionally slow your breathing, it communicates to your brain and your body that there's no danger, and your body calms down. And it changes the biochemicals in your body. This is mechanical. We can change the state of our body. So there's this pranayama, changing the breathing, and then there's asanas. Again, how we sit affects our mind. Yes, everybody has experience that how we're sitting, how we're walking. You know, if you watch like some proud peacock, you feel proud, isn't it? Yeah? If we want to become unnoticed, we kind of slouch. So there's a mechanical. We change your breathing, we change your posture, and then there's a system of mechanical meditation. And in Gyan Yoga, it's also mechanical. You philosophize. You say, that's just a thought. That's just a feeling. It's not me. I am not my mind. I am not my body. I am soul. I am soul. I am soul. I am not these thoughts. I am not these feelings. I am not this body. I am soul. And through that way, it's again a mechanical process. And in Karma Yoga, it's also mechanical. You work hard, and then whatever you work, you basically give up. Either physically, you give everything to charity, and obviously you have to keep something to live. But even mentally, you give up the concept that I'm going to enjoy whatever fruits I'm getting. So whatever I do, I'm doing for the sake of liberation. I'm doing this for the sake of liberation. Doing this for the sake of liberation. I'm not doing it for the sake of enjoyment. And Krishna says, after this tyaga, you get peace. He says this in the 12th chapter after. So these are all mechanical. So Bhakti Yoga, the system of becoming free from our material anxieties, is not mechanical. It's we absorb ourselves in thoughts of the world. We absorb ourselves in the reality. And the best analogy I can give is if somebody's playing a computer game, they lose awareness of the actual persons around them, or watching a movie, or reading a book, or you lose awareness of your surroundings, isn't it? Right? And if you want to, you lose awareness of the real world. There's your real family, your real friends, you know, you're being called to dinner. And you don't even notice because you're playing this game or watching a film or reading a book or something. And all you have to do to get away from the illusion of the game or the movie or the book is you turn your attention to the real world. It's very simple. You know, you're not getting rid of your addiction to whatever this escapism by some mechanical means, but by simply putting your attention to the reality. So Bhakti Yoga is like that. We give up our suffering in this world, our anxiety, our mental and physical sufferings, by putting our attention to reality. And that's what the gopis are doing here. They're absorbing everything, right? Their minds, their conversations, their activities, then they feel his presence, and then they are seen. And by doing this, they lose any awareness that they even have any other homes, that they have any other life. So I want to look at each of these in turn, because it's actually kind of a progression. Their minds, their conversations, their activities, then they become filled with his presence, and then they sing. And as they sing, everything else dissipate. So first their minds. And of course, the beginning of bhakti yoga is the mind. Now Prabhupada says this in the second chapter of Nectar Devotion, the beginning of sadhana bhakti, practice bhakti, is to always think of Krishna. Now I've met many, many, many devotees who think that thinking of Krishna is something that should happen automatically at some advanced stage. But that's not the instructions of our acharyas or of Krishna himself. It's not, if you go look at Sadhu Shastra Guru, they're all of one voice. That thinking of Krishna is the beginning of sadhana bhakti. In fact, Krishna says in the 12th chapter of Bhagavad Gita that if we do service without thinking of Krishna, it's not sadhana bhakti. It's what we would call Krishna karmani. You're working for Krishna. And that's okay. If you can't work and think of Krishna, you can just work for Krishna without thinking of him. And eventually one will come to sadhana bhakti. I can remember Vanu Swami saying, if while we're chanting Hare Krishna, we're thinking of something else, then even if we chant at the time of death, we may end up thinking of something else. And then we go to another destination, we all have this experience that we're having a conversation with someone, but actually we're not paying any attention to what they're saying. Our mind is elsewhere. Yes, we all have this experience. Or when the other person's mind is elsewhere, you say something and they're like, what did you say? Or the typical joke with the husband reading the newspaper, or today we'd be looking at his phone, and the wife is talking and he's ignoring her. And so she tests him and she said, can I buy you a diamond bracelet? Yes, dear. Right? So that thinking of Krishna is the start of sadhana bhakti, not just going through the mechanics. Bhakti yoga is not a mechanical process. It's not a mechanical process. And the mechanical processes are not so sure. They're not so certain. You can be a consummate yogi, meditating at the bottom of the ocean, right? Like Sobhari Muni and Vishwamitra Muni. And a little disturbance knocks you off your path because it's mechanical. So the start is thinking of Krishna. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur writes in his commentary about Bhakti Prasanamrita Sindhu, that if you can't think of Krishna always, because Supa Goswami says, always remember Krishna and never forget him, he said the neophyte may not be able to do this. But you set aside some time a day when you're thinking of Krishna. So that's the idea of our sadhana time. During my 16 hours, my 3 gayatris, my hearing the scripture, my worshiping the deity, during that time I am only thinking of Krishna. And any other thoughts, you just stay in mind, we'll deal with them later. Some intrusive thought comes and very nice, I'll deal with you at 9 o'clock. Right now is my time with Krishna. I mean, we know how to do that in the world. We know how to say, okay, I'm going to spend this time with my kid or this time with my spouse, and I'm not going to turn off my phone and just going to be present with that person. Right? I know there's a thing now that at dinner time, put away your phones. It's propaganda, I don't know who's making it. There's propaganda like that. Have that phone-free meals with your family. So, again, we can do that with Krishna. This is my time just with Krishna. So first the mind, to think about Krishna. And then from that, we come to conversations. Right? Madhuchitam, Bhagatapurana, Bodhaya, Tasparasana, Hatayam, Tasamani, Jantushanti, Chalamantichat. Now, I can't talk about Krishna if I don't think about him. I will naturally talk about whatever I think about. It's natural. Right? We'll talk about what's on our mind. So if I think about Krishna, I'll talk about Krishna. Now, what happens when we talk about Krishna, as we've all noticed, is our absorption in Krishna deepens. Our understanding of Krishna deepens. Our appreciation of Krishna deepens. Yes? Everybody's had this experience? That if I'm just on my own thinking of Krishna, chanting my japa thinking of Krishna, worshipping the deity thinking of Krishna, reading the shastra thinking of Krishna, chanting my gayatri thinking of Krishna, I'm cooking thinking of Krishna. But when I talk to others about Krishna, my own thoughts that I had deepen, they become refined, they become polished. Yes? Everyone's had this experience? Yeah. And then I can do activities related to Krishna on that basis. And it's interesting here that the activities don't come first. You know, again, Krishna Karmani, if you're just doing something for Krishna, you're just doing activities. But it's not sadhana bhakti. It's the next level. But here, the activities stem from that inspiration. You know, because I'm hearing about Krishna, because I'm thinking about Krishna, because I'm talking about Krishna, therefore I want to do things for him. And in fact, Prabhupada talks about that any action in this world starts with talking. You know, we talk about how wonderful Krishna is, or how we want to do something in the garden, or we want to do something in the temple, or we want to do something for the deities, or we want to do something for preaching. And because we're talking about Krishna, we become inspired to do it. Doesn't it work like that? Yes? So who would like to go on harder? Who would like to do this? Who would like to do this service? And people are inspired. And then our activities we're doing for Krishna are saturated with the thoughts of Krishna, and when we're doing it with other people, it's saturated with these conversations. And as we act for Krishna, we stop identifying with our material persona. And this is true even if I act for Krishna in the context of my job or my family. If I'm thinking, you know, I'm doing this work for Krishna, even if it appears to be very mundane work. Srila Prabhupada was a pharmacist. Bhaktivinoda Thakur was a judge. And Prabhupada was very happy with Gopal Krishna, who was a householder, worked for an advertising company. And then Satsuko worked for the social services. Now, I'm doing this for Krishna, because we're thinking about it, because we're talking about Krishna. I'm doing this for Krishna. I had an experience at the USC hospital some months ago that when I went to register for an appointment, the person at the registration desk had on the wall next to him how he wanted to treat everyone who came to that hospital. And on the list there, it was stated something like, you know, all for the glory of God. That I would treat each person who comes as they're important, to listen to them, to treat them with respect. I forget the whole list. But it reminded me of how Krishna talks about it in the Bhagavad Gita, when he was a kind friend to all living entities. You know, he's very dear to me. So one can think, I'm doing this work to please Krishna. I'm taking care of my child, I'm being nice to my parents, I'm cleaning my room because it's Krishna's room. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, really all my family are your servants. My house belongs to you, my family members are your servants, and I am earning money to maintain your household. Just like there are people who give regular donations to the temple. Yes, we have regular donors, and monthly donors. Some people give a big donation to Janmashtami or Diwali, and there's monthly donors. And they're working and thinking, I'm giving this money for Krishna's house. But so-called our houses are also Krishna's house. And therefore, Krishna, right after saying, Yamyam Bhavi Sram Bhavam, whatever you think about it, death, that's what you become. What's his next verse? His Nama Nisram Yujicha. Thinking while you're fighting. So activities for Krishna are not only going out and chanting on the streets and producing books and distributing books and dressing deities. They're also working at Walmart. They're that too, for Krishna. This was Arjuna's mistake, that Arjuna thought, well, if I'm going to work for Krishna, I have to renounce my life as a soldier. I have to renounce my life as a prince. And Krishna says, no, do it for me. Now, of course, here, the gopis, the BBT translation is that they're actually acting out the pastimes of the Lord, which is something that happened previously. That's one way of translating it. One can also translate it as they were doing all their activities for him. Alright, then what happens after that is one becomes filled with his presence. It's interesting, Srila Prabhupada wrote a letter in the very early days of his time to Balaji, saying when you chant Hare Krishna, you should feel the presence of Krishna. And it's something I've meditated on a lot, this instruction, because if Krishna is his name, then as soon as I say Krishna, his presence is there. Of course, his presence is always there. But just like if I say your name, I get your attention. And I'm more aware of your presence, isn't it? Yeah? So when I say Krishna's name, I become aware of Krishna's presence. And Prabhupada says, one should feel Krishna's presence while chanting. And it's interesting, he said, one should feel Krishna's presence, and then one will immediately remember Krishna's activities, such as his giving instructions to Arjuna on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. So this becomes kind of a virtuous cycle. I think of Krishna, I talk about Krishna, then my activities are filled with Krishna, and then I feel Krishna's presence, and when I feel Krishna's presence, that induces me to think of him more, and when I think of him more, I'm going to talk about him more, and when I think of him more and talk about him more, I want to do more for him, and when I do more for him, I feel him more, and this keeps on going and going and going. And as mentioned in the BBT purport, this is true even if Krishna is apparently absent. Even if we feel that Krishna has left us, that he's abandoned us, that he doesn't care for us, the Christian writer C.S. Lewis says, we may look upon a world where God is apparently absent. We've been abandoned. I'm sure the Pandavas has felt like that at some point during the gambling match. Krishna has abandoned us. And where is he? And the gopis certainly were feeling like that here. Krishna has literally walked away from them. But when one absorbs oneself like this, one feels Krishna's presence, and one knows that Krishna has never abandoned. Krishna has his reasons for meeting the separation, which is beyond the scope of this class. But Krishna has never abandoned them. And then when one feels Krishna's presence and one is absorbed like this, one breaks into song. You know, there's a perversion of this in the Bollywood movies and the Broadway musicals. And of course, bursting into song can be in many different levels of emotion. Yes, when people are sad, they sing the blues, but they also sing. Isn't it? Yeah. One of the best ways of expressing emotion is by singing. And so when the felt presence of Krishna, it becomes very great when one naturally wants to sing. And of course, if one is in some public place, maybe one may have to just sing in one's mind. I remember doing that once. I was walking down the streets of New York to a doctor's appointment, and I wasn't dressed in a sari, and I was chanting in my mind, singing in my mind, and it was very hard not to like dance down the street. And I thought, I'm a one person silent party, non party. But so sometimes, you know, if you're a court judge like Bhaktivinoda, you're sitting on the bench, you're not going to just like break out into song on the bench externally, but in your mind, you're singing. And at this point, again, all of our problems in the world, due to our mundane identity, just fade into the insignificance that they always were. Just like the person who turns away from their illusion and turns to their family, and the illusion is just, it's what it is. It's just some pixels on the screen. It has no value. And we see that that we naturally develop detachment and we're naturally liberated, although we may appear to be working more. As we become absorbed in this devotional service, which is so easy and natural. You don't have to go to the Himalayas and sit on deer skin and stare at your nose and eat only fruits and roots and, you know, or philosophize constantly. One just becomes absorbed in Krishna, who's so easy to become absorbed in because he's so attractive. It's actually a lot easier to become absorbed in Krishna than it is to become absorbed in the things of the soul. Because the things of the soul are actually not very attractive. They're causes of distress, which again, that is a subject for another class. So speaking about singing, I thought we would sing, and this is Arjuna Das Thakur's appearance day. Now this is one of my favorite songs, Paramakarna. So when I lived in the Boston temple, every day we had a class in Chaitanya Charitamrita in the evening. We had a Bhagavatam class in the morning and Chaitanya Charitamrita class in the evening. And instead of singing Jai Radha Madhava, we would sing Paramakarna. And when I ran a preschool for 5 years, I taught the children Parma. That was the song, so all the 2 year-olds learned Parma. Parma Corna Pahodri Jana Nitta Nitta Gora Chandra. Apana karna bunjay samana karma vedo jana dasa. I'm not sure if the translation I have here is exactly the same as in your songbook. The two lords, Nitya Gaura Chandra, are very merciful. They are the essence of all incarnations. The specific significance of these incarnations is that they introduce a process of chanting and dancing that is simply joyful. So that's of course very related to. Well, we didn't talk about dancing in today's class, but one can imagine that when gopis were chanting, they were also dancing. My dear brother, now by the way, this Bhai Himegali is not really gender specific in this sort of context. So when Bhakti Noah or Roshan Dasa course is my dear brother or my dear brothers, they mean everyone, men and women. Just like in English, when I was growing up, the masculine pronoun was used to mean all humans. Like if you said he, it meant men and women. So that's changed now grammatically. But even in English, you may say, hey, come on, guys. And guys means all humans. So here, brother in the way it was used in all humans. My dear brother, I request that you just worship Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda with firm conviction and faith. If one wants to be Krishna conscious by this process, one has to give up his engagement in sense gratification. One simply has to chant Hare Krishna, Hare Hare, without any motive. My dear brother, just try and examine this. Within the three worlds, there is no one like Lord Chaitanya or Lord Nityananda. Their merciful qualities are so great that upon hearing them, even birds and beasts cry and stones melt. So this is very wonderful for people like me who have a stone heart. Right? The Bhagavatam says, if you're chanting and your heart doesn't melt, it's made of steel. Yeah. So stone only melts at very high temperatures, like inside of a volcano, inside of the core of the earth. So Lord Chaitanya, he can make even the stones melt. But Lord Chaitanya Das regrets that I am trapped by sense gratification. Since I have no attraction for the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, then Yamaraj, the superintendent of death, is punishing me by not allowing me to be attracted by this movement. The devotee, like Mahaprabhu says in Sri Chastika, always feels himself, you know, I'm so low, I'm so fallen. And this is not a tamagun thing. This is not some tamagun depression for which you have to, you know, go see Jayashree and take antidepressants. And this is a mood of intense gratitude that although I have no attraction, Rupa Goswami says, I've never done any devotional service, I've never done any sadhana, still I am being given Krishna's mercy. Still, somehow or other, Guru is merciful to me, and Krishna is merciful to me. And I was talking to one devotee the other day who said, actually I'm a demon, but somehow my Guru loves me. So this is a mood. You know, I don't have any good qualities. I have no devotion. I have no qualification. I have no attraction on my own. But still, Guru and Krishna are so kind to me that still they are engaging me. And obviously, Lord Chaitanya has attraction. We wouldn't be able to write this song, work on Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. Obviously, he has attraction. Obviously, he has taste. Obviously, he has ecstasy. But he's saying this taste, this attraction, this ecstasy is all the mercy of the Lord. It's all the mercy of the Guru. So, of course, Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, they exemplify this process done by gopis. Absorption of the mind, discussions about Krishna, dedicating all one's activity to Krishna, feeling the presence of Krishna, and in that feeling the presence of Krishna, involved in singing and dancing. So this movement of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the best means by which we can enter into these Raja Lilas of the gopis. So we have a few minutes. Anybody has anything they want to add? You know, we have a small crew here because of the stormy weather. Thank you.